of the Lord. It is our desire to live for you. Let that song be our testimony. Let it be, Lord, the confession of every heart in sincerity and truth. It's the only thing that will entitle us to the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We humbly thank you tonight for your wonderful Spirit. Serene and holy, hallowed be thy name. How great thou art. Thank you for honoring us today with your mighty Spirit that suits the heart and the soul. Bless, Lord, your people for their obedience, their reverence, Lord, the adherence to the word, putting that in action right away. And Lord, you have blessed them. Bless the word now tonight. We humbly thank you for the message last night and the wonderful thought that you brought out to us, answering our questions, Lord, which we never understood for many years. Thank you so much for coming in our midst. We plead with you to come in us by the great fullness of the Spirit. Come, O Lord, help us to prepare our hearts. Bless your children tonight. Bless the word as we open the blessed book and read tonight your precious words. Thank you so much for your goodness to us, health and strength, shelter, food, and clothing. We thank you, Father, today for the breath that we breathed. Lord, there are many that do not have food around the world. Provide for them and bless them. Pray that you will help your servant to say something tonight. Little pebble again in the water. Lord, and one day we know that if we rise, waters to swim in. Bless your children abundantly today. For we pray and ask these blessings in Jesus' name, for his honor and glory. Amen. I am reading here again. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If your son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If he then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy words. You may be seated. Oh, my Lord, I feel so blessed to hear the words of the Lord, to think of him standing before the people in his day and speaking such glorious words. Sometimes I believe our minds ought to be transported, yes, to the streets of Jerusalem, and to envision the Lord in his unseen robe speaking to the people. Yes, trying to deliver his message, and his words are so perfect. All the words of the Lord are perfect. Yes, the words that Jesus spoke to the people, they were perfect. They're still perfect up to today. There wasn't an error nowhere. He was God. Yes, and whatever he said had life, had meaning, that he could have said, the words that I speak unto you, they are scripture and they are life. We are trying to reach that place. Yes, I must say how much I appreciate the obedience of God's people here in putting those little things in practice, you know, as you come into the house of the Lord, to just bow your heads and meditate, consecrate yourselves, concentrate on him. And I believe that that is so wonderful. I believe it brought a different atmosphere of the Holy Spirit. I'm sure that you feel different in your spirit, in your minds, in your hearts. I believe that you worship differently. Yes, and the Spirit of the Lord is so strong, it come in, you can hardly speak. You can hardly open your Bible to speak the words of life when we feel his great spirit moving in the congregation. So I really appreciate that, and I know that the ministers here, Pastor McGee here, he appreciate that greatly, how quickly you apply those little instructions. Yes, we can only touch him with our souls. You know, if he was on earth here, then we can reach him by our hands and shake his hands and say, Lord. That's, you know, the physical part of it. And this body in itself, this physical man cannot touch the Lord. You know that? No, because he's in spirit form. You have to touch him by your spirit. So it's a reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. You touch him by your spirit. Touch him by your soul. So you can touch him as long as you don't apply the things that you heard and you know for many years. As one brother said, we know it, but we just forget it. Yes, sir. The enemy has a way of coming and stealing a little bit every day. Just a little hairline. And by the time you wake up, you forget what you was doing. Forget what you was doing 1 month ago, 2 months ago, 3 months ago. Yes, sir. But we should not let these things slip. So it's so wonderful when we can touch him before the minister comes here, we touch him with our soul. Yes, Jesus touched me and made me whole. Yes, the little songwriter say, my God is real. I can feel him in my soul. So you touch him with your soul. You see, you cannot touch him in with your soul as long as you are gazing here or your mind is on the job or your mind is upon some disappointment you had, you know, recently, today. And you could not touch the Lord like that, you know, just by worrying about your failures. You ought to come in here and try to touch him with your soul. How do you touch the Lord with your soul? It's a very simple thing. Yes, we had the example of a great prophet, Brother Branham, who touched the Lord. He knew how to touch the Lord. Yes, and in that film, you notice he was waiting on the Lord. Yes, we ought to observe all of these things. You meet a spiritual man, then observe everything that he do. If you consider him to be spiritual, when Brother Bob was around me, I observed everything that he done. I even peep into his notebook. Yeah, you heard the story. Peep into his notebook. I want to see how he's put in his notes. I want to see. So I went into his room, sat down on his bed, and he had his notes. So I was watching there. He do like that. And he closed his books. He don't want to give away, you know, his secrets. Yes, sir. So we observe that man, you know, a prophet is not without honor save in his own country and in his own house. And sometimes like that means a preacher, that means anybody. You see, and They appreciate that servant of God so much in another country. Yet they long to get a little time to sit down and talk with him, shake his hands, and different things like that. And it's too bad that after the men of God departs, go their way, then we realize how valuable they were. And then we long, we say, boy, we should have been around that man enough. Yes, sir. So I believe that to touch the Lord with your soul, you see, is even a little lesson in itself. And the prophet of God, if you notice, that he was going to call this prayer line. And then all of a sudden, you know, he just got very quiet and relaxed. You don't know what he's doing. You see, but a prophet of God is built up in such a way to push back that spirit, you know, your own spirit. Yes, and yield your soul to the Holy Spirit. Yes, and you don't know what that man of God is doing. And then he realized that that angel of the Lord was not there yet. You remember on the film? And he started repenting. See? Touching the Lord with your spirit. You come in repenting. On bended knees I come. Yes, humbling your heart. And then a very notable thing that Brother Branham said there that blessed me. He said, if I have said anything boastfully, please forgive me. Yes, sir. Whether he will come here tonight, I do not know. Yes, sir. But we believe that he will come. We trust that he will come. With all what the success that he had in his ministry of all those years, he, you know, tried not to show off and boast. I don't know if he will come tonight. And then prophet of the Lord turned around. He says, the organist here somewhere, you know, would you kindly come and play for me? There's a certain song, I think, was Only Believe. And he keep on praying. Now, you see, while that man of God is praying and talking to the people about the trip in Africa and in India and all those things, there was something that is waiting. Now, if you appreciate, you will understand that. As you see, that there is something that is waiting to become a load to the spirit. Now, that's your soul trying to touch that spirit. And then he was talking, you know, and then he reached to a certain place that he said, and I don't want to get in trouble like Moses. Yes. And then he turned around and he said what? He said, he's here. The Holy Spirit. And yes, I take every spirit under my control for the glory of God. Now, brothers and sisters, that is so marvelous that here Brother Branham could touch something with the Spirit. They had understanding the Spirit and the whole congregation as they had never seen nothing, heard nothing. And then the prophet of God said, he's here. And then he said, the angel of the Lord, the Holy Spirit. Yes. And now he could have gone into action. Now that is what the Lord is training us for. He is trying to acquaint us with his spirit. You see, now you cannot touch the Lord by coming in here and having your mind on the natural. That is what I was trying to explain to you. You see, you have to do certain things and apply yourself in order to be pulled up into that realm of the spirit. Now, you see what Brother Branham done? They called for the organist. Now, brothers and sisters, that was to help him to enter into that dimension. Remember, Elijah was angry one time, and he could not find the spirit in that anger. And what did he do? He called for a minstrel. A minstrel is a musical band out of the army. And then they brought them over and they started to play the music. That changed the temperament of Elijah from anger, softened his spirit, and his soul started reaching out to touch the Lord. Yes, and he reached out there and touched the Lord and prophesied. Dig this valley full of ditches, thus saith the Lord. I will fill them with water. Yes, sir. Oh, my Lord, I don't know how people could not want to see them days again. Yeah, just saying the story, you know, has such an impact. Yes, I want to see those days, and we will see it. I assure you we will see it, and we will see, my brother, even much more than that. Greater works than this shall you do, because I go unto my Father. And you touch the Lord with your spirit. Yes, your soul. That is not only for the preacher. Preacher might touch the Lord in a greater way, because he's ministering the word, which is the greatest anointing. And the highest order is the preaching of God's word. that you could touch the Spirit. You might have a need. You might have some kind of a little problem, lust problem, anger problem. Oh, my, all kinds of problems in this flesh. In this flesh, you lie at no good thing. But no matter how you are, if you're yield to the Spirit, and you don't want that in your flesh, brethren, and you come in there with the right attitude, reverence, respect, yes, adoration for the Lord, just like I explained. I don't want to go over that again. Yes, then you could touch Him with your spirit. Now, you just don't touch Him with your spirit just with your eyes open and, you know, gazing around and you're taught somewhere else. You have to get into that dimension. Yes, and then you find something rising from down on the inside. Now, you close your eyes and you meditate. And as you think upon Him, you find a certain part of you rising. I don't know if you ever experienced that. I believe that we are Christian. Most of us have experienced that. You know, if you yield yourself to the Lord, you don't yield yourself to the Lord with your eyes open and watching like that. You ain't going to fool nobody. And yes. My beloved, you just get before the Lord in your prayer closet. This is for your prayer closet. Yes, sir. This is for the house of God. Yeah, that you must come with that reverence. Hallowed be thy name. Yes, and you have to come with that reverence. And as you yield to Him, I think the best way is to close your eyes, my beloved. Shut yourself off from all imaginations and all thoughts. And as you stay in the Spirit, you know, keep your mind upon the Lord. Let Him be the center of your attraction, center of your thoughts. Remember Brother Branham saying that? On the film, he said, now keep Him at the center of your thoughts. The building looked pretty milky. Anything can happen now. Faith rise in the spiritual realm. You see, so you got to yield yourself to the Lord. And as you yield yourself to the Lord, and you shut yourself off from even the bench that you were sitting in, and the next person next to you, and you yield yourself, you know, let that spirit rise. Is your soul trying to contact God? And as you rise in that spirit, then, my friends, you start feeling something moving. See? Something start moving. Now, that's your soul touching the Lord. Yes, you made spiritual contact because your spirit, your soul is a spirit being. And it's touching the Lord's spirit, which is a spirit. Yes, so it must, when that touch there, you must know. Yes, you feel different. A humble feeling come over you. A sweet feeling come over you. Oh my, you want to, you can't hold up. You think you're a man, but when you come in the presence of the Lord, you know, it breaks the heart. Near the tears start to flow, and even though, you know, you try to hold it up, the heart is breaking. Yes, when your heart is breaking, that's the Holy Spirit. That is what we need. Yes, and there is a measure of that Spirit right now for everybody. And the reason that young people and even older people get into trouble, you're not yielding to the Spirit enough, let Him come and anoint you, yes, and put the Holy Ghost in you. You have to ask the Lord for the Holy Ghost, you know. That is what Jesus is saying here. I read it 2 times. Yes. And He said, how much would the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? The reason that you're having problem and you're overcome by the desires of the flesh is because some of us never ask for the Holy Ghost. Yes. And it never reached down far enough to sanctify us and to cleanse us. Some of us, no doubt, sit here dry, and we don't have the Holy Spirit because we never ask. You've got to ask, you know, brethren. That is what the Lord is saying here. He said, ask me for it. And James over there, he said, he received not because he asked not. Yes. And he said, you ask and you receive not because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your lust. So when you come to the house of the Lord, if you're having problems in the flesh, having problems, I say flesh, but you know, anything in the world. Anything you want in the world more than you want eternal life in the Lord, that's a problem. And that's lust of the eyes and lust of the flesh. Yeah. And then if you want to overcome that, you just sit right here and do what Brother Bruce say. Find a little corner somewhere in the woods, find a little corner somewhere in the house, find a little corner somewhere on the bed. And you just yield yourself to the Holy Spirit and say, Lord, give me more of your Holy Spirit. I don't want to be this kind of a person that I am. Lord, come inside of me. Take away my own thoughts and my own desires. See what I'm saying? Yes, that is what I done as a young man. And I had no pastor and I had no guide until I borrowed your pastor. And that was many years after. Yes, but I had no pastor to teach me. All that I learned from the time that I give my life to the Lord is through my desire for life and yielding. Yes, and as I yield to the Spirit of the Lord came upon me right away. And as I open the Scripture and start speaking to people, there will be a visible something that come over me, and they will notice that the Holy Spirit was upon me. Beloved, that is what you need. It is true that we are expecting the great outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the fullness, the capstone to come. But listen, without the Holy Spirit, you cannot live another day. You will become in the natural and you will start desiring the natural things and you will feel so natural. You just mix amongst unsaved people a little bit. And don't pray up as you are supposed to pray up and see how natural you start feeling. Yes, I tell you, you don't feel like a Christian. Yeah. So, you must, yield to him. And getting into that dimension, there is an approach, there is an attitude, there is a way to get into that dimension. And as you get into that dimension, you climb higher and higher, higher and higher. You find the Spirit of the Lord moving. You forget everybody and just bow your heads and close your eyes. Yeah. And you just yield to the Spirit one step at a time. Let your spirit climb. Yes, I hope you understand what I'm saying. If you had a little experience of that, you will know what I'm talking. But so what happened to some people is that they rise a little bit and that spirit start rising and then they stop it. Yes, quench not the Spirit. Quench not the Spirit. You let it drop back. Yeah, some child cry out here and you come out of it. something out here, the music stop and you stop. Yeah, we don't pray to the tune of the music. Yes, we pray and we yield to the tune of yielding to the Lord. Yes, and that rises. But many of us sometimes don't know and we stop it. Yeah, we stop that right there. You've got to yield to the Spirit. Yes, and you keep climbing. My beloved, that is going to get so great one of these days until you are completely submerged. Yes, by the great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, that soul is going to climb, climb, climb until it climbs right up. Yes, sir. Break the sound barrier, spiritually speaking. Yes, and then you are ready for the rapture. That is how great that is. Now, without that, I cannot preach. Without that, the people that sing cannot sing. Yes. And you don't know when that is happening. You see, you don't understand when that is happening and how it is happening. Yes, but in order to speak to you under inspiration, a minister must yield to the Lord in such a way where he contacts the Spirit. Yes. And then when he contacts that Spirit, then he's speaking to you, my brothers and sisters, from a different dimension. Yes, from a different dimension all entirely. And you want to know, boy, how he could say those things that touch me as an individual. It's not me, it's the Holy Spirit. How he could bring that out tonight? I don't know. It's the Holy Spirit. All that I do is to contact the Spirit. And as the inspiration flow from that contact that we make with the Holy Spirit, then he bring the right thoughts. Yes, sir. And you speak the words of the Lord. Like we spoke last night, it was such a blessing that we have to thank the Lord so much that we never understood how the people, came into one heart and one accord and one unity to go up to the upper room to receive that great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And would you believe that I never knew that? Now, who brought that? The Holy Spirit. Now, when you come and tell me, Brother Bruce, that was great and that was wonderful, in my heart I say, thank you, Lord. Because I positively know that I never had that figured out, formulated, And in fact, all the messages that you heard here, would you believe that I never pre-planned them? I never pre-planned them home, never pre-planned them here. I wait till the last moment, right in the evening, like this one. Yes, I say, Lord, what would you have for your children today? Yes, sir. Put it upon my lips. And then, brothers and sisters, I apply the same method to receive my message. That I am telling you here how to contact the Lord. Yes, sir. That is why a preacher don't be running here, running there, doing this, doing that, hours before he comes to the pulpit. Then he waits upon the Lord. And then what happened? I'm telling you my business, but you may need it sometime. Yes. And then, you know, you get quiet with the Lord, and then you meditate a little bit with the Lord. No big thing. No kind of a Pentecostal affair. Hallelujah, praise God, hallelujah. No, that's works. Yes, sir. The things of the Lord is so small, and it happens, my brother, you know, in such a simple manner that people don't know what is going on. Yes. And it happens, and then you wait upon the Lord, you get quiet, cut yourself off from wife, children, noises, everything, have certain things that will disturb, then you push that out, you clear that out of the way. And then, my brothers and sisters, what will happen? A little thought start coming. Out here, we're not talking about the Bible yet. A little thought coming, and the next little thought come there. Yes, little thought come again, and then right there. I remember the scripture, but that is in the scripture. Yes, so sometimes that revelation come, and then you go to the scripture. And then it comes there, it start coming, and then pull the pen out. I jot it down before I forget, because there is a demon coming to take the seed by the wayside. Yes, so you jot that down quickly. And then you wait on the Lord for the rest of it. And then it may not be altogether a pitier, but then as you come, you have to apply faith. And the Lord is such, you know, sometimes he don't give you a pitier. He make you exercise that faith until you reach on the pulpit. Yes, and make you go up there and stand up there and you don't have a pitier. Then by faith, read the scripture, start speaking what you have, and then everything comes together. Yes, I believe that most of the preachers could relate to that. You know, but the Lord is so good to us. I want to encourage your hearts, you know, to continue in the same approach. Yes, I'm seeing you over there on the monitor, you know. If you don't know, if you don't know, I'm seeing you on the monitor. Yes, so I'm looking at you on the monitor. I say, okay, that is Sister Mary Dorfish, and that is the next one there. Now, that fellow have his eyes open, man, I tell you that. So I'm seeing you over there. Yes, but don't make that cause you to close your eyes now. No, you see, you have to understand that you come to the Lord, and in reverence and in respect, you want to touch God. You understand? You have to make it, I want to touch God of my soul. Yes, and you could only touch him so much, and you keep on yielding to the Lord, and as you yield to the Lord, you were surprised to know what the Lord could reveal to you, what the Lord could help you to do. And in that yielding, my brother, right then, as you touch the Holy Spirit, and you start feeling sweet in your soul, say, Lord, take away this naughtiness from me. I know that it is wrong. Yeah. Lord, take all this from my heart. You might be a little sister. Lord, take away this from my heart. Reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. You see, as he passes by, you make contact with him. You call out like blind Bartimaeus. Yeah, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. Yes, sir. And you were surprised to know what could happen to you in the service. You come to service and you walk out as a new person. Yes, I believe that we who have passed that way, I believe we could relate to all these things. Yes, sir. But sometimes we forget. Yes, we come in and just wait and hear songs. That is not all. We come in and wait for the preacher. Oh, I find he's taking long to come out today. No, there's a certain groundwork that you must do. Yes, and one credit that I must give you, brethren, that if the Lord will cause his servant to touch him by his spirit, many times they take the prayers of the saints. Yes. Now, according to how much you are calling for that blessing, that is what the Lord is going to bring to his servant, you know. Yes. So you have to keep on praying. Like last night I came in there, and the greatest part of that message, I had no knowledge of it. No. And that is concerning that upper room heart's condition. That the the Lord's Prayer was actually telling them how to receive the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Thy kingdom come. I never knew that. I never seen that in my life. Yes. And I came in there, and Brother Kenny, so humble, just leave his chair, and Brother Bruce, take my chair. Sit there, brothers and sisters, and pull that pen, and immediately the Lord whispered that little word to me, upper room, heart's condition. Yes, sir. That was the prayer. That is related to that prayer. Upper room, heart's condition. It relates to that prayer. I hope you catch that last night. Now, that came out there supernaturally. All the messages that I preached to you, friends, I never premeditated. I never say I'm going to Connecticut now. I have to get a book full of sermons now because I might have to preach them. No, no, I put one or two scraps of paper here and there. And so when I reach down there, the Lord is going to give me something for his people. Yes, and I know you have been praying. Now, when you see you do your part and you pray and you read, you touch the Lord for yourself and you get up into that realm of the Spirit, it makes it so easy for the minister. Yes, it's a wonderful environment to preach in. Yes, sir. And I walk out in a Holy Ghost atmosphere. I have no fear. I have no doubt. Yes, that the Lord, you know, is already blessing us in what I have already spoken. He wants you to know that. Yes, sir. So let us continue to yield, as just as you yield tonight and in the prayer meeting. I want you to continue to yield unto the Lord. Now, the Lord make a promise to us. That is true. But the thing is that you have to keep on asking him for it. Yes. Lord, give us this promise. Give us this promise, Lord. So the Lord's Prayer, he actually taught the disciples how to pray for the token to come. Yes, sir. And how to pray. The token is the kingdom of God, the Holy Spirit. And at that time, it would have been the cornerstone, not the capstone, but it is the same article. Yes, sir. The fullness of God. And then a man cannot truly pray that prayer of the Lord's Prayer until he conditions his heart. I'm talking about truthfully saying the prayer. Applying the prayer. Right? And I showed you there last night, you will get some of that in Matthew 6. At the end of that, the Lord specified. After he prayed, he specified. He said, if you forgive not men your trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you for your trespass. At the end of the 6th chapter there. And the condition. So now that prayer was actually teaching the disciples how to pray for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Yes. First, before they could have prayed that prayer, they had to have their heart conditioned by forgiveness, by unity, by love. Yes. By doing the other things that the Lord said in his commandments. So you see, that was an important prayer. Now, I never knew that that Lord's Prayer, you know, was telling them how to get the outpouring. I knew it was connected with the outpouring by saying, thy kingdom come. Yes. And but never understood that. Now, brethren, the Lord does things so simple. You would think that he will do that, you know, with great jumping up and shouting, and it don't work like that. Yes, like the man of God said, and he said, the Lord does something so simple. He said, when the Lord shined, come with the sunshine in the morning, he said, it pulls up so much water from off the earth without a sound. Yes. He said, well, look at these man-made pumps. The amount of noise, and they didn't pull up very much water after all. But the sun shine out, and brothers and sisters, you see the vapors come up. And Bobby was asking me, what is all that mist, Mary, Susie, you think of? What is all this mist about? How do they have so much mist in this place here, Daddy? We're not used to seeing that very much, you know. And then I understand what he was asking. I said, well, the rain fell and the sun came out and the humidity built up. And these are water vapors that are going up into the heavens and they will become clouds. Yes, sir. And beloved, so simple that the Lord does those things. How he brings the rain without making a set of noise. And Pentecost is full of noise, so-called Pentecost. A bunch of noise and they achieve nothing. They are like these man-made water pumps. Yes, sir. And the Holy Spirit comes and, you know, so serene and holy. The music start playing. And the quality of the Holy Spirit amongst us here, beloved, surpass all that so-called Pentecost has. Sir. Yes, sir. You see, and the Holy Spirit, he does things so simple. Just the sun come out. And I tell you, beloved, all that water vapor go up there and form the clouds. And then you have a rain. Yes, apply that spiritually. Yes, it seems like nothing is happening here, but the Holy Spirit is moving. And as the Holy Spirit moves, and then it got to move with you. Unless you come and dedicate yourself, you don't have to go on a 7-day fast or a 21-day fast. All that you have to do is to cleanse your heart and mind and make him the center of your thoughts. And as you make him the center of your thoughts, like I said, bow your head, close your eyes, mind your business. Yes, sir. And reach out to the Lord by your soul, by your spirit, and touch him. And as you touch him, then you will know when you touch him. Don't be afraid. Yes, sir. And glorify him. Worship him when you touch him. Stand still. Be reverent. Even if you are in the car park and you take the right thought and you find that thing come upon you, be reverent. Stand a moment. Yes. Glorify him. Magnify him. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, O Lord. So that prayer over there was directly teaching the disciples how to pray for the Holy Ghost. Now, I proved that just now by reading over these scriptures. And the Lord, after giving all this lesson by this parable, then the Lord went on to say, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Now, brethren, I preached this Bible a long time, but then I understand last night, which I want to highlight just a little bit and, you know, after a while and close, and that is time and time again I preach to ask, seek, and knock. And we heard that many times, ask, seek, and knock when we want something from the Lord. But then I now understand that this admonishing that the Lord admonish his children to ask, seek, and knock is directly connected with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. See that in this parable. Directly connected. Now, we took that scripture and applied it for everything otherwise. Ask, seek, knock for healing, for something we ask from the Lord, wife, husband, and all kinds of things. And it works. It does that. But what I am saying is that the most important emphasis that the Lord laid is to receive the Holy Ghost. Yes. So now this asking and seeking and knocking and all the examples that the Lord gave about a bread and about a fish and about an egg have to do with asking for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that marvelous? Now, to me, that is marvelous. That he spoke the Lord's Prayer, and then right down the line, at the very tail end of the scripture, in the 13th verse, 11th chapter, I just read 11, 9 to 13. But at the end of the 13th verse there, our Lord, he emphasized the Holy Spirit. In other words, he said, if you want the Holy Spirit, you have to ask for it. That is what I'm saying, brethren. Right? You cannot get a hold of yourself, and you are having problem, dear sisters, brothers, old, young, whoever you are, then ask the Lord, telling him you want more of him. Live in the Spirit, and he shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. How are you going to live in the Spirit and say you have the Spirit? You've got to have the Spirit. Call on the Lord for the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit come down and anoint you. Get down into your soul. Yes, sir. And when it gets down into your soul there now, it brings the new book. Yes, sir. Holy Spirit. And it will strengthen you. It will change your desires, change your mind. Yes, sir. And you continue to serve the Lord. And then as you continue to serve the Lord, you get more and more and more of His Holy Spirit. And the more Holy Spirit you get, is the more you understand, you know, how to serve the Lord, how to please Him. Yeah, you get stronger. Every day you get stronger. Yes, and the more you hear the Word of God, the more revelation you get, there's more spirit that you have in you. Oh, yes, sir. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit unto your life. Then the more word you hear, and the more you understand, and more revelation that you have, is the more spirit you have in you. John 6:63. They said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and life. Yes, and he spoke the word of God, and by the time it hit somebody's ear, and they believe that and accept that, it turned into spirit. Yes, how marvelous is that? It turned into spirit. Yes, sir, and it get down inside of you. So each one of us is not going to get that by just say, I'm coming to church and sit down. No, friend, you've got to meditate when you come. You got to knock. You got to ask. You got to seek. See what I mean? You got to ask. You got to seek. You got to knock. That's what the Lord commands you to do. If you want to be born again, if you want the Holy Spirit in you, you want divine revelation, you want the token, in any form that you want the Holy Spirit, you've got to beg Him for it. Don't forget the greatness of the Holy Spirit. That's God Himself. It's a wonderful article to have. And all the stories that the Lord gave there, He was emphasizing to ask for the Holy Spirit. Beloved, if you're going to get this outpouring up here in New England, you've got to ask for it. You've got to come and seek for it. You've got to come and knock for it. It is true that we cannot pray down the Holy Ghost, and we still stand by that principle, but friends, you got to ask, you got to seek, you got to knock. Yes, you cannot come unconcerned. Well, I overheard that the token is coming, this great outpouring, but I'm not too sure if it's going to come this year, or maybe it won't even come. No, that is unbelief. Yes. Come in there, brothers and sisters, and keep on thanking the Lord for this outpouring coming. Yes, it's the answer to all things. It's the answer to all things. You've got to centralize your mind and soul upon one thing, and that is eternal life. Yes, and if you center your mind on eternal life and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, yes, no matter what trial comes, no matter what trial goes, husband wants to go, wife wants to go, children wants to go. Who wants to go? That is up to them. You are after life. You are after the token. Now, if you have some kind of a hookups in your life somewhere where you are caught between a wife and the Word of God, or husband and the Word of God, children and the Word of God, or some article of the world between you and God, friend, you're going to have problem. You're going to have problem. You got to remove that obstacle. Yes, sir. Remove that obstacle. You don't live between the Lord and something in the world. You got to make up your mind which way you want to go. Yes. If your husband is a problem, cut the arm off. Children is a problem. Friend is a problem. Take the leg off. That's what Jesus said. Yes, sir. Another thing is a problem. He said, take the eye off. He said, it's better to enter into life, halt and maim, than to enter into hell with all your members. Yes. And that simply means, friend, you will enter the kingdom of God, and you will receive the token here, and your husband wouldn't receive it, your son may not receive it, your friend may not receive it, but it is better to get the token alone. Better to get the outpouring alone. Yes. If they want to stay out, let them stay out. Anything that troubles your faith, that is where you stop growing. Yeah. If you halted between opinions, halted, my brother, between some trial there, you don't know if you're going this way or you're going this way. Listen to me, you make a decision to walk the straight and the narrow way many years ago. So it should not be a matter of decision. It should be a matter, my brother, I am going this way. Yes, regardless of who don't want to go, I am going. Yes, like I oftentimes say, brother, there is not a human being to stop me from my purpose of gaining eternal life. Nobody big enough, nobody great enough. No, sir. Even my life is not dear enough. Jesus said, he that not forsaketh not all cannot be my disciple. He that loses life for my sake shall find it. Yes, and he that saves his life shall lose it. Yes, I read that many years ago while I was just a little fellow. Yes, and I realized that the Lord meant business. He said, he that loses life for my sake shall find it. I said, yes, Lord, I will lose my life for your sake, and I know that I will find it. Yes, I would not save my life. Jesus said, he that saves his life shall lose it. And some of us save our lives too much. Yeah, we have a life to self on this world, a life to husband, a life to wife, a life to children. Yes, we have a life to a lot of things in this world. You are saving your life, and you're going to lose it. Yes, but we have persuaded better things of you, beloved. If you did not mean business with the Lord, you wouldn't be here tonight. Yes, you would not tarry for all those years waiting on the Lord. So here we are. So we see this applied. The Lord told them to ask, seek, and knock. Right in this parable that we just read, 11:9-13, see if I'm speaking the truth. Ask, seek, and knock has to do with the Holy Spirit. That's the main thing in it. And then these examples that the Lord spoke about, a son asking for a bread, and asking for fish, and asking for an egg, friends, and an earthly father would not give him a scorpion or a snake or a stone. Huh? My brother, how much the Heavenly Father, if you ask him for divine revelation, he will give you. If you ask him for the born-again experience, he will give you. If you ask him for the Holy Spirit, he's going to give you. If you ask him for the outpouring of the Holy Ghost, then turn away, my brother, and say, thank you, Lord. And keep on thanking the Lord until it comes. That's the thing. So, we see this in action. The same thing that the Lord told them here, we saw that in action. One time after his resurrection, he said, tarry ye in Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Yes, ask, seek, and knock went into action immediately. Yes, they went up there, they ask, they seek, they knock. They praise, they worship, they sing. Yes. One day passed, nothing happened. Second day passed, nothing happened. Third day passed, fourth day passed, it doesn't seem like nothing is going to happen. Here, yeah, like the prophet said, one fellow might have rise up, he said, don't you think we already receive it by faith? Huh? Yeah. He said, no, sit down. Yes. 4 days passed, you remember that happened in Durham one time? Yeah, I tell you, one fellow rise up there and he said, the Holy Ghost fell this morning. Yeah. Brother George says, sit down. Yeah, we have these kinds of mentality. Yeah. He said, how you know that? He said, the lights went out and come on back. Yes. And the Holy Spirit fell this morning. Yes. And that is thus said the Lord. Brother George come up in the pulpit. He said, we're going to hear just thus said the Lord just now. Brother Bruce is coming. We're going to hear thus said the Lord just now. Yes, sir. And he said, the Holy Spirit didn't fall. He said, the token fell just this morning. Now, that's an evil spirit and how an evil spirit moves. You see, poor brother was sincere. He repented right away. You know, by the evening, he repented. We admire that. And I'm just letting you know that there was up in the upper room there for something real. Reality. All right. And they went up there and they applied this asking and seeking and knocking. It just was not going to, they was not just going to sit down at wallflowers. And I am applying that to whosoever hear the promise of God. When you hear the promise of God, you just can't have that in your mental conception. Yes, there is an outpouring coming one of these days. No, you've got to go in action. That is what I'm trying to bring to you. You've got to go into action in different areas. And they went up there 5 days, 6 days, 7 days, 7 days, 8 days, 9 days. My Lord. Yes, I tell you, we are waiting up here for a long time. Yeah, more than 9 days, I tell you that. And but it's going to come. Yeah, to come, it will come. Because the Lord made that promise, it's not man. Yes, and they went up there, and brothers and sisters, they heard a sound from heaven. My, I
tell you, it shook the whole building, caught everybody by surprise. It's a deafening sound.
Yes.
Sound from heaven as a mighty rushing wind. Yes, and the room probably was closed by the whole just wind just swirling around, my brother, faster and faster and faster, and fear struck the congregation.
They feared the very thing they was asking for.
Yes,
I assure you, you'll be scared to death. Yes, but as I say, as scary as it is, I still want it. If I die, I die.
Yes. We want it. Yes, sir. So they went up there asking, seeking, knocking, until the Holy Spirit came in his fullness.
Beloved, that same thing we repeat. And we believe with all our heart that this revival and outpouring will take place in New England somewhere. Maybe not in this building, but somewhere in New England it will take place.
And brothers and sisters, I want to encourage your heart. There was not one group in the whole of New England that is in shape to receive that right now outside of this church. That is why I believe that it will be amongst the people of God in Connecticut here.
Yes, sir. Grace Covenant Church. Because we had been looking for it. We had been knocking. We had been seeking. We had been pleading. And sometimes, no doubt, you get weary and you get tired. But I want to encourage your heart to ask, seek, and knock.
Ask, seek, and knock for the Holy Spirit outpouring. That is what I am here for. And these messages are coming supernaturally to you. And I know it will benefit others in different places who have now heard of this vision and heard of this promise. They don't know from whence it is coming. They don't know how it is coming. They don't know how to prepare. They don't know what kind of a condition their hearts should be in to receive this Holy Spirit. Now, all these are lessons here. Yes, and the Lord led this way, that while I speak to you, that others could benefit.
Yes,
the Lord has not commissioned me and has not given me the green light to go to these places that they are asking for us. If you cannot come, send Brother Pastor Muggy. Yes, send Pastor Renner. If you cannot come, Brother Bruce, send some of these fellows from down in the Caribbean.
Yes, I say we are prisoners of the Lord.
Yes, sir. And cannot go until he bid us to go. Yes, my brother, we are waiting on something. Tarry in Jerusalem until he be endued with power from on high. Then shall he be my witnesses.
Yes, we are waiting on something.
Oh, my Lord. Send your power soon, Lord. Send your power soon, Lord. Yes, so the true meaning of all what the Lord said in that parable from about the 5th verse to the 13th verse, all, has to do with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit.
Yes, sir.
That is why he applied these words here, ask, seek, and knock. So what he was telling them is to ask, seek, and knock for the Holy Spirit outpouring. That's the prayer he taught them over there. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. In order. So now this is directly connected with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit.
Yes, sir.
So now after you catch this vision, yes, and you realize the value of this great outpouring of the Holy Spirit, then I repeat it again for the tape, my friends, that many people wait for the rapture, they wait to see the third full ministry, they wait for signs, they wait for wonders. But I want to emphasize that everything that is happened to is to happen to the bride of Jesus Christ is locked up in the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. If the outpouring does not come, friend, you cannot have a revival for the bride.
No,
you cannot have the spoken word ministry of speak the word power.
Yes, sir.
You cannot have the dead rising from the grave. You see how important it is. And then you cannot have this body translated to go in the rapture. It takes, my brother, power to do it. What is the matter with people? How they expect to go in the rapture? Read over here in Church Age, page 376 to 380. And you're going to see Brother Branham said there must have necessity to be a return of dynamic power.
Yes.
Like the day of Pentecost. To keep this thing moving, my brother, the followers of Malachi, for he's dead around the world. We need power. How are we going to do these things? We need power. Yes, everything is locked up in the token. And if you see the emphasis Jesus placed here on the Holy Spirit. Yes, sir. He said, ask, seek, and knock for it. And he gave a parable of the importunity of a certain man. Read the parable and you're going to see something. That man could not get them loaves from that man that was sleeping on the basis of friendship. Read the scripture and you'll see something there. He said, though this man be his friend, yes, he would not rise up and give him the bread. But he will give him the bread because of his importunity. That is the desperation and the man's persistence. So friendship, dear friends, was not going to get this man the bread. No, Jesus said that because he is his friend, he would not get up and give him the bread. He said, but because of the man's importunity, yes, the man stood up there and he would not give up. Yes, sir. By the time the man dozed over, he said, man, I want the bread. Yeah, he said, listen to me, let me go down, pull off my covers and give him the bread and get rid of this rascal here bothering me at 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. You see, so it is the persistence. Yes. So Jesus was trying to bring that out, that not because I am the friend of Jesus and Jesus is a friend of mine, that you could just sit down and wait for the token and you are going to get it. You see, it is a matter of importunity. It's a matter of desperation. It's a matter of troubling the Lord. Now the Lord wants you to trouble him. If you are sick, the Lord wants you to trouble him. You tell him that morning, noon, and night, Lord, I'm waiting on the healing. Yes. Lord, I got prayed for, and I'm waiting on the healing. Yes. Lord, I want you to heal me. Yes, sir. Now, a case of great importunity is the woman, you know, with the daughter that was possessed of a devil. That's a good example. Now, she was not even in line up for the blessing. The Syrophoenician woman, a Greek woman. And, boy, I tell you, that was persistent, huh? Persistent. She just came over, Lord, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. Yeah, would you please heal her? And then the Lord told her there about the bread. He said, it's not meet that I take the children's bread and cast it to you dogs, Gentile dog, Greek dog like you. My, what a person will do today. Brother, you see where your attitude is? The Lord tests us upon our attitude every moment of the day. Yes. And he told her that. And look how humble that woman. I noticed that immediately after that, she addressed him again. But Lord, oh my. My brother, after that insult, you know what happened to that woman? She was desperate. She was so desperate she was not hearing any insults. Beloved, she was tired, you know, of seeing that daughter flaunting by her mouth, busting her face, you know, jumping in the fire, hitting the wall. She didn't care what she had to do in order to bring deliverance to that child. Yeah. And she took the insults. Yeah. And she said, true, Lord. What you're saying is true. See, brethren, when the word come against you and cut you, you have to maintain that same attitude as the truth. True Lord. That's the truth. Your Bible said not to do that. Deliver me from this sin. Deliver me from this weakness. Don't fight up, beloved. And she said, true Lord. Yet, the dogs eat from the crumbs that fall from the children. Table. In this scripture, it says somewhere there that there's crumbs falling from the children. Yes. And Jesus turned right around. That was importunity. That was persistence. Beloved, she was not entitled to nothing. Think of that. A person that was not entitled to nothing. Yes. And not only that, but driven away. Go away, you dog. Yes. True, Lord. True.
What you're speaking is the truth. Yes, yet the puppies eat from the crumbs that fall from the children's bread. I'm going to eat this crumb, then I'll be satisfied. And it attracted the Lord. It touched the Lord. Her faith touched the Lord. Her soul touched the Lord. My beloved, in that condition. Yes, sir. And the Lord said, because of this saying. See that? Your attitude. Because of this saying, go. Yes. And your daughter is healed. And the Bible says she went home and found the child. She did not have the child there on the spot, you know. The child was home. Yes. And the spoken word went forth. And the Bible said she went in the house and found the child healed, laying on a bed. My God, imagine the torment that that child was in, that probably she never used to be upon a bed. Beloved, putting her head out here, screaming day and night. Oh, beloved, I tell you. And she went and see the child, calm as ever, laying on the bed. I saw that woman, my brother, had the attitude to be saved when the grace of God came to the Gentile. I'm sure she would have remembered the Lord and what he done, my brother, and embraced the grace of God and become a sister in the Christian church. Because she had the right attitude. Yes, friends. To think that something didn't belong. And you might be thinking today that, oh, the covenant is not in effect and the great outpouring of the Holy Spirit, ain't come yet. I think I have to suffer under the sickness. Not so, my brother. He, out of the covenant, received a healing. Yes, she was not even in the covenant, my brother. Yes, sir. She was a Gentile daughter. And out of the covenant, because of that faith and the attitude and the respect, she was healed, my brother. That child was healed. Yes, sir. It is true when the outpouring comes, we are going to have, great abundance, my brother, miracles, signs and wonders, and everything to take place, sir. But the children bread, my brother, we could eat the children bread right today. All those who was prayed for, friends, you could eat the children bread. You know what is the children bread? The healing is the children's bread. Yeah. The healing is the children's bread. He said, it's not meat for me to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs, sir. Yeah, this is only enough for the children out here. Oh, sometimes read the stories, and what you need to do is to check it in a different gospel. They have a little variation that bring out certain words that, it bless your heart. And chain up all of these things together. Let us master the Bible, children. Young men, let us master the EODH books. Let us master the message of the hour. Yes, you'll be called upon to give that out one of these days, sir. Yes, sir. So, it's a great thing of importunity. Now, all what the Lord was saying there about such importunity of that friend, he was trying to stir up the people heart that they should be anxious for the Holy Spirit. I love that word there. Anxious for the Holy Spirit. Yeah, Martha was anxious one time about cooking and washing and so on. Yes, and he said, Martha, Martha, thou art cumbered about too many things. But Mary has chosen the good part. In other words, Mary is anxious about the right thing. She was anxious about hearing the word, being prepared for the great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And friends, what I'm trying to do, to get over into this message here, we should not go to sleep and just become relaxed in our minds and our lives and in our services, about the promise that God made us. We have to keep reminding him, and we have to become anxious for it. And we must become more anxious for that promise of God more than anything else in the world. We must be able to teach our children to be anxious for that promise, sir. Because everything is locked up in that promise, sir. Yes, sir. You must be anxious for it. You just cannot say that the token is coming and just, be casual and going along and, the token is coming one of these days. No, my friend, Jesus is not saying that. Jesus is saying to knock and he asks and the seeker. Yes. He says to ask, seek, and knock for it. From the time you hear that promise of God, your whole mind and soul should be set upon that promise. Yes. And you should not forget it. You should not come to that place where you lose your vision, where you lose your anxiety, where you lose, my brother, the desire to see that promise come on the scene.
Anytime the church reaches in that condition, they're slipping into the Laodicean spirit of lukewarmness. And we don't want to be lukewarm about this promise. No, you have to be on fire. You have to be looking for it every day. You have to be anxious about it. Yes, Lord, I want to see that come to pass. Lord, I find it is even taking long. Oh, Lord, hasten that day. Hasten that hour. Every time I come to service, Lord, I'm expecting it. I want you to send that promise. Lord, when I see the sicknesses, when I see the distresses, when I hear the things that are happening upon the earth, Lord, bring your promise. Lord, I want the promise. Lord, send the promise, Lord. Every heart should be set in that order. That is what Jesus is bringing out here. You cannot pray down the promise, but you have to be anxious for it. And as you get anxious for the promise, then your heart and your soul is on fire. Yeah, you are red hot. Contrary to the Laodicean spirit. Yes, you are fire bright for the promise of God. When you are fire bright for that promise of God, then obstacles that comes in your way, friend, is secondary. Yes, you will walk over them with ease. Some of them will pain you, but you walk over these things with ease. Why? I want the promise of God. See? So now this here, asking, seeking, and knocking had to do with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Okay, after you catch this vision, friends, and you realize the value of this promise, then if you are really asking, seeking, and knocking, then you will try to set your life in order. Yes. Those who overheard that promise, here for the first time overseas, and yes, I am instructing you here as we have instructed these people in many years, that when you hear that promise of God, you've got to set your life in order. These people that you are seeing here, these people that is assembled here, my beloved, you move from one state to the next. Yeah, families move from right around America because of the promise of God, setting their life in order. Yes, they came here when they were young. Now they are old. Yes, leave many states, my brother, from Florida, right up, my brother, Pennsylvania, and right through the United States. And you move where the Word of God is. You don't move away from the Word of God. How can you say that you are seeking the Lord and move away from the Word of God? Yes, how you could go and reside in a country for 1 year and then come back? How you could serve God, my brother, being in a foreign country? Huh? You cannot. No, you got to be around the Word of God. You got to be prepared. Yes. So now these people are here. They move from all parts of the country because of a certain common goal. And the common goal is to receive the token. And the token they will receive. So you set your life in order. Then when you set your life in order as the head of the home, then set your home in order. Yes. If you don't set your life in order and you have a television cover for the blanket, and in the middle of the night you get up and you're watching that television, then you are a dead hypocrite. Your life is not set in order. And if your life is not set in order, your family life would not set in order. Your house cannot be set in order. And they are hypocrites like that, friends. They will command their children what to do, but then they have a television, they will watch sports. Yeah, I tell you right now, children, wherever the state may be, if you have a father like that or a mother like that that claim to follow this message and stealing a chance to watch sports on the television, you have a hypocrite father. You have a hypocrite mother. Yes, don't follow their footsteps because you're going to end up in hell with them. That's the truth of it. How a man could set his life in order and house in order and be doing such nasty things, taking chances out there, huh? And go to the oval, go to the sports field, out here looking at television, running off with another woman, lusting after the next woman, and claim that he is coming after the token. His heart is not right. So first is set your life in order, then set your home in order. And if you are a minister, so start setting the church in order. And that is what set this church in order, is the promise of God. That is what set Bethel in order. That is what set St. Vincent in order. That is what set Guyana in order. That is what is now setting in order the Grenadian church over there. Yes, sir. That is what set the church there, my brother Keith Church there. He sent his greetings to you. Why, my brothers and sisters, he heard of the promise of God. That is what set the Guayaguayari church in order. We never knew nothing but order of house, my brother, and home and church. But now it is set in order. And that is our goal, is the Holy Spirit. Set the church in order. And down in India, down in Africa there, you set the church in order. By that I mean that if the people is looking at television, they cannot receive this promise by doing that. If they're on the sports field, they cannot receive the promise. You've got to set the church in order. Go back to the ABCs, the Brother Branham message. Pull out those golden nuggets. Shine them up. I tell you, and blast that old spirit, my brother, of the world out of the church. There, get Sodom and Gomorrah out of the church. Yes, and if you are left there with only 100, only 50, then the token will come to that 50. Yes, and who want to go, go. Who want to come, come. That's the word of the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. That's the order that the man of God said here. He was not no chicken feed preacher, friend. He come up there and look you straight in the eye. Yes, and call your name out, brother. Yes, expose your sin. Who want to leave, leap. He said, I'd rather preach a five. Yes, and get this outpouring than have 100 hypocrites under my ministry. And I believe the same thing. He has brought out brethren. He has produced ministers in the same fashion. Yes, he has produced people with the same kind of a desire, same kind of boldness. Yes, even because of the word, you see. This promise of God changed a lot of things. Yes, it changed a lot of things. Ministers over there, you get the women to dress right. You cannot get the token to them until they dress right and live right. Yes, you cut every long-tongued woman, mom, with the word of God. Silence these gossipers in the house of God. Yes, silence the preacher's wife that think that she is superior over all the congregation and that pass on instruction when her husband is not there. Silence that woman. Yes, we are preparing for the token. It's not just say, I believe this outpouring and I believe EODH. You have to set the church in order. Yes. Get the tight dress off of the women. And those pictures that you send to me from Africa with those women stooping down in those tight dresses where I could see their body showing, that is ridiculous. That is an insult to me. After you see how our sisters dress from GCC and from Bethel, and I put their pictures right over in that book that you might understand how a Christian woman ought to dress, for you to send me those pictures is an insult to me. Yes, get the women dressing right, and we shall receive the token. Take the television out, and we shall receive the token. Call the people of the sport field, and we shall receive the token. Yes, sir, set your house in order, set the church in order, and we shall receive the token. Yes, sir, heart's condition, my brother, must be right. Upper room, heart's condition. Yes, we got to clean the thing up, even because God sent a holiness message first before he sent the outpouring. And that holiness message came by Brother Branham. Yes, some holiness standards are recorded in EODH Book 6. And I tell you, it makes havoc throughout the world. It made havoc. When they see you could not watch a television, high heel shoes, cut your hair, some of them bawl. Yes, sir. You mean to say that the prophet said all of that, and we was doing that, and we was in sports and everything? We repent. My God, the Lord could do some things. Yes. Now, those who applied it, my beloved, ask, seek, and knock. Yes, sir. They went up to the upper room. How many say amen? Amen. They applied exactly what Jesus said. And then down in the house of Cornelius, he applied it, huh? He got it. And then down at Ephesus, they applied it and they got it. I tell you, if we apply it, we are going to get it too. If you apply it in India, you're going to get it. If you apply it in China, you're going to get it. Yes. And look, my brother, at that great man called Cornelius. His heart's condition was right. He was a righteous man, though he was a Gentile. Is that right? And the Lord gave him a vision to send down to get Peter. And you know the miraculous thing. And Peter came there, my brother, and those people's heart was just set right. And they were anxious to receive something. That is what happened, you know, brother, is that they were so anxious when they see this miracle man arrived. That Cornelius tell them there was a man called Peter, and he's down at a certain place by another fellow called Atana. And they bring him up. Imagine when Peter came there in that yard, how many people were looking at him as an angel fall from heaven. They were Romans already. Yeah, it wasn't too hard to make a man God. Yeah, so as you walk in, my brother, that anxiety that he's coming with something from God for everybody. Yes. And as he started to speak the words of life about Jesus Christ, and he would start at John the Baptist and say there was a man sent from God whose name was John. And after him followed the Messiah. And he started to speak, my brother, and he said he went to Calvary and he died and rose again. The people believe. And then, my brother, he started to speak about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. And he said, this promise is unto you and unto your children. God showed me that in a vision. They believed and they were anxious about the promise of God. And while Peter just spake the words, the Holy Ghost fell upon them. And it said it happened just like it happened in the beginning. So there was another sound from there, and the pillar of fire appeared and divided and went over upon the people. And that anxiety, them raw heathens, my friends, who heard the gospel for the first time, so yielded and so agonized and so asked and so knocking their spirit and they so seeking their spirit until they receive it immediately before the water baptism. Isn't that a miracle? I say, if them could receive it, my brother, we could get it too. We had been waiting it for a long time. And if those without water baptism get it by the great outpouring of the Holy Spirit, we could get it too. They had faults, they had failures, my brother. And my brother, the Lord forgive them for all of that right away. And they received the Holy Spirit. I believe that that could happen again, that the musicians come. Yes, but this asking and seeking and knocking, friend, has to do with the great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And I will just refer you to these scriptures in closing. Friends, everybody that did not obey the Lord to ask, seek, and knock failed to receive the Holy Spirit. Judas was one of them who did not take heed to the Lord's prayer. And though he had the great opportunity to receive the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, he missed it. Is that right? Now, we heard of a man out there who came in without a wedding garment. One of the parables, that wedding garment represents the great outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon a man. And he thought that he could have come in by his interpretation. So the Lord asked him, how you came in here? Not having a wedding garment. He said, cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. That man did not want to pay the price. He did not want the pastor. He did not want to sit down under the word. Yes, he did not want to follow the plans that the Lord laid down through his prophet and through EODH and what we are bringing out here. So he thought that, well, he was good enough to make the rapture, and the Lord caught him. And he said, I'm going to pitch you through the tribulation now, just like Judas. He came right up to the token, and he did not apply what I am saying here tonight to ask, seek, and knock, and make it the center of their thoughts and action. And there are two groups today that are following this message. And that is, listen to me, there in India and Africa, there are two groups that are following this message today. One is anxious for another outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And the next one is not anxious for it because they think that they are all right. And they are packed up, sealed up, and ready to go. And they think that they can make the rapture in their condition. Now that will be the foolish virgin. The foolish virgin thought that she was okay. She was all right until that last hour. But there was another group that knew that she was not all right. And she got anxious and she got desperate. And that was the wise virgin. So there are two main groups that are following this message today. And I say this here if you miss all the messages. One is after the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And the next one despises it. Right? We are those people that appreciate the promise of God, and we are anxious to see it, and we believe that we are part of that great bunch of the wise virgins that will receive this promise of the hour. Now, those who are not anxious for it, brethren, you better start asking the Lord to show you the value of this promise. Now, the Lord could put that anxiety inside of you. So now, come into the house of God, meditate, pray, seek the Lord, just like I tell you, and don't forget, ask Him. Ask Him until His ear is sore, if His ears does get sore. He says, His ears are not too heavy that He cannot hear. Yes, it don't matter how much you ask Him, and those of you who have been prayed for, you keep on bothering the Lord. You know, He wants you to bother Him. Yeah, He wants you to tell Him every day, Lord, but I'm waiting for the healing. Yeah, Lord, I'm feeling a little more sick, I'm waiting. Behave like that Syrophoenician woman. Yes, be humble about it. Yes, and tell the Lord. Yeah, Lord, we've been waiting on this promise a long time, I'm getting tired. Yes, sir, Lord, I'm scared. You just tell the Lord, I'm getting a little tired, Lord. My throat is even wearing out, Lord. Yeah, we want to talk on. Yeah, and the congregation, you bother the Lord, we are waiting on you. Yes, the world is waiting upon this revival, the New England friend. The world is waiting upon my brother, this altar.